the Marine Resources Commission. Next item on the agenda is Robert Winfrey, 091536. Mr. Stagg.
Sir. Afternoon.
Afternoon.
This is a case of Mr. Robert Winfrey. He is requesting after the fact authorization for some previously installed and unauthorized structures at adjacent to his property situated along the James River in Surrey County, actually in the town of Claremont. The applicant is actually seeking after-the-fact authorization for two concrete block breakwaters, two concrete block groin structures, and 258 linear feet of concrete block bulkhead, all located at 112 Eagle Bluff Drive in the southern edge of the town of Claremont in Surrey. This project does require both a subaqueous permit for portions of the groins and the breakwaters, and a beaches and dunes permit for portions of the groins and the bulkhead. It was discovered through a call from a nearby property owner late last year, late September, early October. Surrey County has not adopted the Beaches and Dunes Act as it was made affordable to them in 2008. Therefore, the commission will be acting as both the Beaches and Dunes Board and, of course, as the subaqueous authority. The site is located in Claremont, right at the bottom of the arrow there. This is the town of Claremont proper. This is within the town limits. The town limits are right in this little slough here. For people familiar with Surrey, this is Sunken Meadow, and the town of Surrey is to the southeast. This is the James River. Has a pretty substantial fetch to upstream and downstream. As I noted, we did receive a complaint of structures being placed along this shoreline in fall of 2009. It is a sandy beach area. To investigate it, we did visit the site and contacted Mr. Winfrey, determined he was the property owner, and he indicated that he had authorized the installation of the structures. His contractor, he agreed to take full responsibility, even though I believe his contractor should have known that he needed additional permitting. As a little historical information, Mr. Winfrey did apply in 2004 along this same reach of shoreline to install a riprap structure at the toe of an eroding bluff. At that time, the Beaches and Dunes Ordinance did not apply to Surrey County, and the structure was actually deemed to be landward of the Wetland Board jurisdiction. Therefore, he did not need a Wetlands Board permit. However, he did submit a joint permit application and did receive a letter from us indicating that no additional authorization was required for the riprap structure. Upon investigation of the site, we did determine there were three types of structures here, as I mentioned. Mr. Winfrey did acknowledge that he had put these in, including some bank grading behind the bulkhead. There is a road that leads down that you'll see in some of the photographs to a flat area of shoreline. I gave him the option of either removing it and restoring the area or seeking to submit an after-the-fact authorization request, and he indicated he wished to do that. We did receive an application pretty quickly in late October and started our public interest review. The project site is a beach and does not require a wetlands permit. This entire reach is a unvegetated sandy beach area. There are some wetlands off-site in both directions, but not part of this project. These are the drawings he submitted with the original application. There are two breakwater structures. They're made out of concrete blocks. This is a typical section of a block, 6 foot long, 4 foot high, 2 feet wide. Located in these two locations, they're made out of the same concrete block structures or two groins in this location, being 54 and 30 feet. And then this is the general alignment of the bulkhead with a curved area and a return wall here. Also noted was a picnic shelter that had been constructed that is landward of the Beaches and Dunes jurisdiction. There is a roadway that comes down through here, and this area has been graded down to the bulkhead. In front of the bulkhead is all a sandy beach out to mean little water. These are the detailed drawings of each type of structure. The bulkhead showing it landward of mean high water but within the beaches and dunes jurisdiction. Then the sloped bank and the gravel road coming down. These are the groin structures, partially channelward of mean low water and partially landward of mean low water. And then the breakwater structures that are placed right on the river bottom and are in the water at all but a blowout type. Again, the bulkhead structure here. There is kind of a point here with some cypress trees on it, and that's the general location of the two groins. This was the first site visit that I did last fall, and the leaves were still on the trees and the grass was green. This was a kind of a low tide. This is the hill coming down to the beach area, and this is the return wall. Each one of these is a concrete block. They have a V in the ends and on the top, and then an indentation in each end and a V in the bottom, so you can stack them. You see these at places like Southern States where they use them to contain material like gravel and sand. We don't typically see these as bulkheads and breakwater structures. Panning a little further around, this is looking in the upstream direction, and the road coming down here. This was an eroding bluff, similar, you'll see some pictures in a minute, where the bank is just completely steep. I believe this was like that and then tapered down before, but it's been graded and seeded. Again, there's one row of blocks, then it goes to two rows, and then in this section there are three rows stacked. This is a drain pipe that drains. There is a grate up at the top of the road, and this drains some of this area that was graded. And then one more look, looking upstream. These are the two breakwater structures immediately offshore. Again, a single row of block. And sorry, I cut that off, but each end of these has a second block on the end. I'm not really sure what the purpose of that is, other than maybe hold these two blocks, keep them from settling. There is some material behind both of these in this picture. These are the two groins, also made out of the same block material, single row except double at the very end of each groin. And you'll notice there is this headland area here with cypress trees that appears to be fairly stable. And one last picture looking upstream. As I noted, this was discovered through a complaint by a nearby property owner. And Mr. Winfrey did acknowledge and accepts responsibility for the entire project. He was informed at the site first visit that the work did require authorization from this agency and possibly also from the Army Corps of Engineers and possibly Surrey County. This was before I had gone out and actually looked at the site. Again, as I reiterated earlier, you know, he was given the option from our perspective, to remove the structures and restore the area to its previous contours, which has been difficult on this bank since it's already been graded, or to seek after the fact. He indicated he would do that and did submit an application. During subsequent follow-up visits, the existence of the two breakwater structures and the bulkhead, we noted evidence of some erosion behind the bulkhead and some settling of these structures. We did conduct a full public interest review, and other than the initial complaint, we have received no objections to the project. VIMS did visit the site and gave us a fairly extensive report. They did note that the type of material used in all three structures was not typically recommended. They also noted that the bulkhead had already lost some material on the landward side. These are pictures. These are actually VIMS's pictures. From October till about January of this year, I visited the site two or three times, and everything seemed to be staying pretty well intact. It actually survived the Nor-Ida storm with minimal damage. But this complete area of loss here happened within just the last couple of months. And these are pictures VIMS took. I've got a couple more pictures at a higher tide that I'll show you in a second that were taken just within the last week. As you can see, the wall is now listing forward. And I did tell Mr. Winfrey after my initial visit that, you know, we had some concerns with this material, that I really didn't think this bulkhead would survive. That would, I really thought the hydrostatic pressure from the bank might push it forward, but sort of the opposite has occurred, that the bank's actually washed out behind it, and now it's leaning forward. Again, this is, you know, some fairly new erosion that just has happened. I believe Mr. Winfrey does own past the end of this, but there is no return here, and apparently what happened in the storm is this was breached around the end, and the material just escaped through the sand. Again, there's the pipe. There's some erosion that comes and goes due to the drainage pipe. And again, you can see that the wall is leaning now. It was pretty much completely straight initially. At least that was my observation. Jim's went on to say that in addition to the fact that the bulkhead has lost considerable material, their settling has occurred with the breakwater structures, and they appear to be the improper height and may not be the correct distance offshore. They noted a lack of filter cloth on all structures. However, you can see there is filter cloth behind this. I had never been to the site at a point where I could really tell the groins and the breakwaters whether there was any type of filter cloth used with those, but there is filter cloth underneath the backside of this bulkhead. They also noted there's some shoreline erosion on the channelward side of the bulkhead, probably from either wave action and or the drainage pipe that extends through the bulkhead. They further noted the groins are not low profile in design as commonly required now, and had they been consulted in advance, they would have recommended a properly designed stone breakwater system which with beach nourishment and appropriate plantings, and then a properly sloped bank with some heavy woody vegetation planted on the bank. Basically, the bank was just planted with the grass. They further state, while a stone breakwater structure would be preferred, if a shoreline structure is considered necessary, they would recommend a stone riprap revetment with a properly sloped upland bank behind it. As a less preferred alternative, they note, to allow Mr. Winfrey to reuse some of these concrete block structures, that he could come back with a properly engineered application for a tiered bank system, where he would step the bank up in a number of steps, which we see benchmark steps up the bank, and then use some of this material. Obviously, any of these recommendations would need to be properly engineered, and the use of filter cloth would be recommended for all the structures. From a staff perspective, we have considerable concern about using these types of structures for bulkheads, breakwaters, or groins. The concrete blocks, while they are quite heavy, are not the type of material normally used. There does not appear to be any mechanism to tie them together other than the grooves that you can see in this picture. That makes them highly susceptible to movement from wave action and dramatic storm events, and for the bulkhead from hydrostatic pressure, from water pressure in the bank. While they did appear to remain in place for quite a few months, as you can see, recent storm events have compromised some of the bulkhead structure in the bank behind it. It also lists forward. We've also noted some subsidence of the groins on the channelwood end and slight uneven settlement of the breakwater blocks. Additionally, the groins do not appear to be providing much additional benefit of capturing sand, as there's a natural point there with cypress trees that seem to be doing probably as much benefit as the groins themselves. There is sand in the system that does move around, but it's really dynamic and moves back and forth quite a bit. That's looking upstream. These are the pictures I took this last week. And this is a little higher than normal tide. We were having those high tides last week. The breakwaters are out there. They're underwater. Which would be, even though this was a little higher than a normal tide, we typically, you would not see breakwaters completely covered by water if they were properly proper height.
Some water depth right there, man.
At low tide, and I've never been able to get a real low tide to go up there, but Mr. Winfrey may have better information, but I'd say out at the breakwaters it's probably a little foot or so deep at low tide. Like I said, this was a little higher than normal, but that is the, that's the top of the second block on the breakwaters. It's just, you can just see the water rippling on top of it. And again, that's the same thing. Those are the breakwaters right there. I'll just leave that one up. In summary and recommendation, the bulkhead has partially failed as a functioning retaining wall for the upland material and as a shoreline erosion defensive structure along the beach. As a result, staff would recommend that the bulkhead block structure be removed and replaced with an appropriately designed riprap structure using the current alignment of the bulkhead as the toe alignment of the riprap. We're towing the riprap right at the alignment of the current block and then riprapping up the shore and regrading if necessary. As an alternative, and to allow for the use of the concrete blocks, the applicant could seek authorization for a properly engineered tiered bench system along the bank. I did talk to VIMS, actually talked to Scott Hardaway specifically about this. He's their shoreline erosion expert. And his input was in the VIMS report, but just talking to him on the phone, he did indicate that, you know, a tiered system might work here. But obviously, you know, a riprap revetment would certainly work here. Additionally, the breakwater structures do not appear to be retaining much material. They may be too far offshore, and they are certainly not the proper elevation, and probably not spaced correctly. And the type of material used is probably inappropriate and already shows some signs of settling. Therefore, we would recommend that these structures be removed. Should the applicant want to build properly engineered breakwater structures using granite stone, we would recommend a submission of a new application, which could incorporate some of these blocks as actual core material and wrap it with stone, so he could still use some of this material that he's purchased. The groin structures appear to be retaining some material, but they are not constructed in conformance with their standard low-profile recommendations, are likely not properly spaced, and are not adequately tied together. Therefore, they have a high probability of eventual failure from separation of the individual blocks and eventual displacement. We would recommend that the Commission direct removal of these structures, again leaving the applicant the option to apply for a properly designed and spaced groin structure if Commission feels it's applicable. Additionally, since Mr. Winfrey had previously applied for a riprap structure at this location, we believe he's aware of the permitting process. And while it didn't require a permit in 2004 because he was outside the jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board and our jurisdiction, I could understand maybe the bulkhead, thinking that didn't need a permit because he didn't need one before, but he built structures out into the river, which clearly he had gone through the permit process before and was aware that permitting was probably necessary for these types of structures. Therefore, if you do approve any portion of the current structures and allow them to remain, we would recommend an appropriate civil charge based on moderate environmental impact with a severe degree of noncompliance, as well as triple permit fees. If you were to approve only some type of bulkhead structure, that would be on a beach, and there would be no permit fee, so we can't really triple it. But anything subaqueous that was approved would require a permit fee, and that would be tripled. The civil charge would be applicable in any instance.
Questions of Mr. Sag? Mr. Tanker?
With regard to the offshore breakwaters, what kind of danger is there for the public? Is this a heavily used area? Tell me about
that. Well, Claremont Beach proper is just upstream of this. And there is a lot of recreational use in that area in the summer. These are fairly close to shore. The problem, though, is that, as you saw in a high tide event, kind of an unusual high tide event, they're not visible, but they are right at the water surface. So, you know, they could present some hazard to, I think, you know, jet skiing, because they're not marked in any manner.
It's pretty busy this summer.
You'll see Claremont Beach in my presentation, my next one. And it's a flat beach, and there's a lot of cottages right on the beach. There's a lot of activity there.
Any questions? Mr. Roberts.
Thank you. The contractor identified on the application, Driftwood Corp., is that the contractor that actually did the work?
I believe that is correct, yes.
Other questions? Thanks, Winfrey.
Yes.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. State your name for the record.
Robert Winfrey. Weston Winfrey.
Okay, what do you want to tell us about this operation?
Isabel hurt me real bad. It took about 45 feet from my beach. And I couldn't stand another one. It would have taken my road, and I wouldn't have to have any way to get to the beach. I used every possible silk cloth and everything to keep silk from getting in the river, and I was in a hurry to get it done before this last hurricane season came. I knew I needed a permit, and I had all the papers and the permit on my kitchen table when Mr. Stagg came to see me, and I was in the process of sorting it out, trying to fill it out. Those blocks are made at the concrete plants when they have leftover concrete, and they make them for stuff. And several places have been using them for bulkheads, and I thought I could do that. As far as the breakwaters, I think Mr. Hardaway or Mr. Van Landahan, I can't pronounce his name right, came down and told me to put breakwaters out. I think I put them a little too far out, but he told me just put breakwaters like that out there.
Yeah.
Half bound at 04, so went over right on this beach. And, you know, I'm just trying to protect my land. That's all I'm trying to do. If I had another big storm, I'd have lost a whole lot more than I could ever recoup.
Well, a couple of significant problems. The biggest one that has already been brought up is those breakwaters out there. In navigable waters of the Commonwealth, it can be a hazard to somebody who might hit them.
Well, that's the main reason I put those blocks on the ends, because they're visible at normal high tide.
Things never happen at the normal time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Questions of Mr. Winfrey? Let me ask you a question. What do you want to do?
What I want to do?
Yeah.
Whatever y'all said, whatever y'all will tell me, I'll do it. But I'd like to put another row of blocks to keep it. The northeast we had a couple of months ago tore that bank up. It was all graded down perfectly with grass on it. The northeast we had just a few weeks ago did that. But I've got 4 foot of water in some people's houses up in Clamont Beach. I mean, not 4 foot, excuse me, 14 inches of water in one resident's house at Clamont Beach, Richard Harrison. And that foot tore that bank up above the breakwaters. And,
I'm just concerned about looking at it now and knowing the dynamics up there. That I know you got blocks there, but I don't know how much good it's doing. I think you may need to start over from scratch.
Could I put some riprap from the blocks down to the beach?
I'm not an engineer, so I don't know what you can do.
Okay. I understand.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it is evident that whatever's done here needs to be re-engineered and done in the context of a properly designed shoreline stabilization project. And perhaps the blocks can be utilized as core material in whatever design is ultimately done. But, you know, this doesn't appear to be viable at all. So, I wonder if we could explore a removal requirement, but allow enough time so that we could submit a new application, or the applicant could submit a new application, and then incorporate, do it all in one fell swoop, basically. That is incorporating the materials into the newly designed project, if that's possible. But those breakwaters out in the offshore, I think, need to come out of the water right away.
Okay.
That's a rough idea.
You can see the groins going out, sand is backing up behind them, and that's a good thing. And that's the reason I put the breakwaters out there, but to try to build this beach up a little bit. That pipe down on the beach used to be an artesian well when my parents bought the property in 54. It was a good drink of water there. And the state sent Dad a letter saying, please cap it off because it's wasting underground water supply. He did. 10 years later, he knocked the plug out and water was gone, so it's probably coming up in the river somewhere where nobody's getting any benefit from it. But I've always been a good steward of the river. I lived in Chesterfield County at Fallen Creek near DuPont, for the first 17 years, and I saw the land, the beaches were black, is this table, and progressively over the years it's cleaned up a whole lot, and I put silk cloth behind all these walls, and I'm a very big opponent of taking care of the water, as y'all are, and I was trying to do something good, and I think I did protect that little piece of beach from the erosion until that northeaster came along last month, whenever it was.
But, sir, you do understand you have to have an engineer. You can't do this yourself.
Well, I had Mr. Towns in Richmond, Towns in Engineering.
Did he design this for you?
No.
You see what I'm saying, though?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because if you had another situation like Isabel come along, I don't think this would give you any protection at all.
It would have gone on top of it.
Right. So, you know.
Everyone want to take a motion?
Yeah. I'd like to move that that all the blocks for the out over some Sebacius land needs to be removed in 30 days, and then the blocks that are on the dune area can stay for you think 90 days is enough time?
If, plan.
Yeah, 90 days to get a plan submitted to us on how you're going to and then what you need to do is, as soon as you can, hire yourself somebody that knows about this type of thing and draw you up a plan.
Okay.
And you know, have them submit it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any civil charge or penalty?
Take staff recommendation on that. Staff was major.
Moderate environmental and severe degree.
So we need to. Well, there's still some civil damage for doing it, but.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we are ordering removal, I would think that we would not have a civil charge, but we're simply phasing the removal so that the applicant at least has an opportunity to come back with a re-engineered program and try to incorporate the material on shore. But I think 30 days to get this up out of the water that's on Sebacius bottom, which include the groins and the breakwater, would be appropriate in the 90 days for the what's on the dune.
And I think your contractor should give you a deal to help you remove the stuff because he's
at the breakwater.
He should have known better.
Breakwater and the groins both.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Motion made by Mr. Schick, seconded by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Winfrey.